My great pleasure to be here. I'll let you know before, as this is loading, I don't have any financial, I have no disclosures, competing interest to declare, other than the fact I have too many slides. My brief acknowledgments to my co-authors, a great team of injury control faculty and professionals, and also people interested in media, and also to the funders of this study, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. This is work that's done and funded through our Centers for Injury Research and Prevention at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. So, a little bit of background about what prompted us to study what gets covered as freak accidents. In May of last year, a tragedy occurred in the Tyson family. Mike Tyson's four-year-old daughter, Alexis, was strangled, fatally strangled, on a treadmill cord. It was actually the emergency stop cord. She was found by her seven-year-old brother, and she did not survive. And this event is clearly incredibly tragic. However, and we noted that there was widespread coverage of this as a freak accident. And in injury prevention and control, we know actually that cord injuries and cord fatalities to children of about Exodus's age are unfortunately all too frequent. And so this opened up a discussion among my colleagues about, reopened an ongoing debate around just how problematic is it for injury prevention and control when injury events get labeled as accidents, and in this case, as a freak accident. As I said, a long ongoing debate about the usage of this term goes back to the early 1980s. In 1988, there was a nice study that looked at all the different inconsistencies in usage of the term accident. The sort of feeling about the potential damage of this term was such that in 2001, the editors of the British Medical Journal banned its usage. So, you know, it would be something that was worthy of getting a paper sent back to you and saying, change the terminology. However, in empirical studies, some work done by Deborah Jurassic, who's actually one of the co-authors on this paper here in the US, and then also by Evans in the UK, has really challenged the sort of accepted wisdom of the idea that the use of the term accident is problematic. Jurassic found in her nationally representative survey of sort of the general public that the term accident isn't associated with the idea that something isn't preventable, which is one of the sort of key concerns. And similarly, Evans' work in the UK with health professionals also found that usage of the term accident was really not problematic, that it didn't convey problematic messages. So the debate is not yet complete, and certainly within our own shop, the debate continued when we started to think about the coverage of this child's death. A little bit of background, sort of why we're looking at media, and sort of why we're looking at how media covers and frames this event. We're drawing heavily on Ulrich Beck's notion of a risk society and the role played by the media in constructing how we understand different aspects of our ongoing lives as risky or not risky. We know that media coverage of risk doesn't necessarily mirror official knowledge, statistics, and we also, there have been studies that have shown that who is seen as accident prone and who is blamed for different risks is historically and culturally bound, and that our rhetorics of risk really reflect power structures. And one example here is the power of the auto industry to sort of shape how we think of the risks associated with road travel. So why might media, injury prevention and control be concerned about media depictions of injury events as freak accidents? Three key areas here that we identify. Does it convey the idea that nothing can be done? Does it convey the idea that something like this has never happened before and is unlikely to happen again? And does it suggest that there's nobody to blame? There's no, rarity, blame, preventability. So our research questions here were to go beyond this one injury event and look at what gets classified in the news media as a freak accident more generally. Who uses the term, and what do they use the term to do in a nutshell? So this is a small exploratory study. We use print news media as a proxy for the overall news environment. We have three sources, the Associated Press, New York Times, and Philadelphia Inquirer. We use LexisNexis Academic and have a single key search term, that is freak accident. We studied 5 years of coverage, and this gave us a data set of approximately 400 news source stories. Excuse me. Thank you. Our coding approach here was that together as a team, we came up with some initial ideas about what we might look for in the coverage, and then we developed a code book, which we then gave to two independent coders who had not, up to that point, been involved in the discussion. One is a working journalist, and the other is a health communication specialist who also has a background in injury prevention, and they work together. And this is one of the first times, at least that I know, that anyone has actually involved a journalist in coding and coding of this kind, and there certainly was a lot to be offered by the perspective that he brought. We excluded stories that were from the same source, on the same event, on the same day. We excluded non-human injuries, such as freak accidents that happened to racehorses, or non-injurious events, so talking about freak accidents but that had no injury component at all. And we got good inter-rater reliability for the vast majority of our structured codes. So here's sort of the things that we coded for. I'm not going to go through all of them here because you'll see them in the results section. But we did have a mixture of structured and open coding. So there's something that I forgot to put on the slides. It is to say that when we had our exclude criteria, particularly because of repeated stories on the same day in the LexisNexis system, we went from a database of 400 stories to 250 unique stories that we analyzed here. So of those 250, 140 of them were stories that were driven by the freak accident event. And in the rest, the freak accident event was mentioned in the background, but wasn't the focus of the stories. Of those 250, another important distinction to make is that about 30 of the stories were more thematic, so they were talking about sort of injuries in general and discussing freak accidents rather than focusing on a specific injury or event, and that sort of mattered in terms of some of the application of some of our codes. So within the subset of the 220 stories that were about a specific injurious event, 122 of these describe some kind of medical treatment being provided, so a fairly high level of severity in these, in what gets covered as freak accidents. Now, who calls these injury events freak accidents? Unsurprisingly, journalists were the most common source of the term freak accident. So all that means is that a freak accident was used in the text of the news story rather than being attributed to someone. However, the injured person themselves, we were rather surprised to see that in about a fifth of the stories, it was the injured person themselves that labels this as a freak accident. And when I go into, in a moment, some of the uses and meanings of the term, I think you'll see some of the reasons that an injured person would frame what happened to them in this way. Also, coaches, team members, and you'll start to see here in just sort of in the criteria that develop that the importance of sports injuries to our overall data set. So, whose injuries are getting described as freak accidents? Now remember that we came to this prompted by a single death of a young child. And my working hypothesis going in was that that was going to be fairly typical of the stories that we would see. And in actual fact, it was quite rare. So only about just under 10% of the stories were about children's injuries and fatal injuries. Far more dominant in the coverage were injuries sustained by professional athletes. And we talk about the newsworthiness of injury events and how athletes getting injured is just more newsworthy than other people getting injured. And that, I think, has quite a lot to do with the nature of our sample as well, and it's one of the limitations of this initial study. So about 11% of the injuries were happening at home. This was more likely for the children's injuries. And for the sports players, about 40% of those were happening in competitive play. Also, they were getting injured in accident during practice and in non-sports related activities. So now for the stuff that I think is most interesting. So how is this being used? And this is where we get beyond the sort of structured coding and get into more qualitative, subjective coding, phenomenological approach about what's being done by the use of this term. So we have a typology here with two axes, meanings and uses. And we developed six we identified six distinct meanings for the idea of freak accident in the text: unpredictability, unexplainable, bizarre, rare, severe, and not connected to other events. And I'm going to give you some examples of each of these in a moment. In relation to sort of the purpose that that framing the injury event was put to, these are the things that seem to emerge for us: minimization of the event, deflection of responsibility from the injured person, deflection of responsibility from someone in an ownership position, another person involved, and denial of intention. So here's a couple of examples, and I'm not going to have enough time to spend much time on each of these. This is the death of a dancer in an extreme dance troupe, and if you see here, this is something we labeled as an unpredictable. The meaning of freak accident was unpredictability. It was one of our more benign pieces, if there is such a thing. So you wouldn't predict this to happen, this death to have occurred with this particular activity. Mystery explainable. This was a child who was shot, not fatally, but was shot while riding a roller coaster, and the police chief said, it's still being investigated, but I'm pretty sure it's going to wind up being a freak accident. So for us, the meaning here was, we're never going to know what happened. They assumed that there was a bullet that came from outside of the park and just happened, was shot up in the air and just happened to injure this boy. Bizarre, the idea that there's just a freakish situation, that this is, it's not something that would be expected. We haven't developed something for gross or grotesque, but I think also these ideas go together here. So it's a freak accident because it's in some way freakish. Rarity also was relevant in terms of what people meant by using the term freak accident. So here, it's a freak accident because the doctor had rarely seen anything similar in 24 years of practice. So now to turn to the usages of the term. How do people use this term? So here's one that's a deflection of responsibility from the injured person. Now, for those of you who follow football, you may know this already, but this particular football player had been in a lot of sort of hot water over the previous year over his behavior. He was put on the injured list, and here he's swearing that what happened to him, which is outside of his player practice, was just a freak accident. He was just horseplaying. It's just what brothers do. So it was a freak accident. It wasn't something he intended, that he meant to do. So it's deflection of responsibility here. Here's a similar one where the deflection of the responsibility, again, a professional athlete who's on the disabled list, and sort of the case that's being made by the journalist here is, you know, don't blame this person for his own injury. You would have done the same thing. Look at the extreme circumstances and look what happened to him when he was trying to save things from his home. Deflection of responsibility from someone in an ownership position is, for me, sort of, this is a really good example from the headline: one dead, about 30 hurt in a South Carolina bus crash. Bus company calls it a freak accident. In the second quote here, this is two sisters who were injured in a Macy Day's parade where the balloons, a balloon escaped, and the family are saying they're not going to sue because it's a freak accident and those things just happen. So they're not holding anyone associated with the parade responsible. The last quote that I'm going to provide here is that this is a tragic drowning death of a young child. This is a quote from the neighbor who tried to revive the child, and he's saying he thought that maybe it was a freak accident because he thought that the mother hadn't actually been responsible, that maybe the baby had gone under the water for just a moment, but actually the mother hadn't been present when the baby was in the bathtub. So he's saying he's giving these juxtaposition in relation to sort of the responsibility of someone else involved. Oops, that was my timer. I wasn't supposed to do that. Stop it. Don't use that. Not useful. Let me go on to the review of the main findings just to finish up. So the professional sporting injuries are a really big factor here. Injuries that are labeled as freak accidents tend to be fairly severe. The term was being used by a range of stakeholders. It appeared to convey a variety of meanings and serve many purposes. And the implications of this, I think the newsworthiness of sports-related issues and mitigation of normalized risk that is occurring in sports is relevant in terms of the framing of these injuries as freak accidents. They're happening a lot, they're happening repeatedly, and we're calling them freak accidents. Key importance of responsibility. Responsibility hasn't been factored into the discussion in injury prevention so far. And then finally, there's this question for injury prevention and control. Maybe it's the case that journalists, in order to show the newsworthiness of these injury events, label things as freak accidents because that's what gets the editor's attention, that's what gets people to care about them. And what's the trade-off that we're willing to engage in terms of getting injuries out there, getting messages around injuries, even if this term is potentially problematic. So, thank you.